I don't know how many of you, but I know some of you are interested in your family name, and thus maybe you have done some research, whether it's through Ancestry.com or some other tool, but just looking, trying to trace your family name back through the years and centuries even. And as I've shared with you, I've done some of that as well, because, you know, even though no one else may know anything about my family name is important to me, right? A family's name is important. Some of you guys, when you were growing up, possibly got into a fight or two because someone insulted your father or your mother and thus showed disrespect to their name. And so you felt provoked to challenge that some because a name is important. Maybe some young person in here, or maybe you adults when you were a young person can remember possibly being challenged by your father, maybe your mother or two, and to challenge you as you were growing up and starting to branch out, to be aware that the choices and lifestyles you would choose would have an impact on your family. And you don't want to do anything that would sully your family's name because, again, a name is important. And, of course, one of the surest ways to guarantee a death wish in today's world is by insulting Islam's prophet because they take that name of their prophet very, very seriously. And so a name is very important to them, that name particularly. And so the point is, insulting and not showing honor to a name, be it family, be it religion, can have repercussions. And sometimes serious repercussions, because again, a name is important. And so today, as we look at this first petition in the Lord's Prayer, we've taken 3 weeks just to do the introductory and the opening phrase, "Our Father which art in heaven." Today we come to that first petition, and it's related to God's name, a name that is that's infinitely above and superior and more important than any other name that is out there. You know, today His name, God's name, is honored, and yet it's also dishonored by millions and millions of people each and every day. So before we actually get into this first petition, what I'd like to do for a few moments is just take these three petitions, His name, His kingdom, His will, and I'd like to just group them together and talk again just a little bit about the three of these petitions just for a little bit. And then what I'll do today in the next 2 weeks, I will emphasize and expand on that as we look at these different opening three petitions. So here's what I want to call your attention to. God's name is hallowed and holy because God by nature is holy. And there's nothing I can do to add to His holiness or subtract from His holiness. God is holy, period. Secondly, God's kingdom will come whether I advance it or not. Whether I have a part in advancing it or not, His kingdom will come. And thirdly, God will accomplish His will with me or without me. Those things are set. And so in light of that, what do these three opening petitions really mean if we're going to pray them? If these things are already set and God's going to do this and God's name is holy regardless of what anybody thinks, what do these three petitions mean? How do I approach them as I pray? And I would like to suggest to you this morning, they're best understood as personal commitments we are praying for ourselves. In other words, if I'm going to pray this prayer the way Jesus really intended it to be prayed, then I am personally making the commitment to hallow God's name in my life. And I am personally making the commitment to be used of Him to advance His kingdom. And I am personally making the commitment to do His will in all the ways He has declared for me to do it. And so these petitions are to be understood not so much in a general sense, Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. But rather more, or at least first, in a personal way. That I'm praying this would be true for me, and then, yes, for the larger body of Christ and even beyond. But it first must start with these being true in my life and praying for them to be true in my life. And so that prompts a question. How many of those who have recited the Lord's Prayer this past week, we'll just go that far back, or even recited today in a service, have seen and embraced their own personal responsibility in hallowing His name, advancing His kingdom, and doing His will? I mean, how many of you, those of you that grew up in churches where you recited the Lord's Prayer regularly, how many of you in those years when you recite these first three petitions were actually committing or reaffirming your personal determination to hallow His name, advance His kingdom, and do His will? I suspect most people who will pray this prayer today or did so over the past week were just reciting familiar words, or reciting them because they gave some kind of warm feeling inside of them, but with little to no recognition that they were supposed to be committing themselves to being a part of the answer to these three petitions. How many of them, again, were reciting religious words, or maybe they felt good because they had recited Jesus' prayer and done what they were supposed to do? In June of 1991, so go back a few years. In June of 1991, Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls won the first of their six NBA national championships. And so when the buzzer finally rang the end of the game, fans poured onto the floor, and both teams were trying to make their way back to their respective locker rooms. And as the Chicago Bulls made their way back to their victorious locker room, they were met with cheers and laughing and champagne spraying everywhere. As the cameraman got there and started showing all that was going on, there was this kind of a strange scene for that situation. Michael Jordan had knelt down and kissed the floor, and all the rest of the players had huddled around him, and they were saying something. And finally, when the room quieted down enough, you could hear what they were saying: "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And the whole prayer was recited on national TV, the Lord's Prayer. Now, I don't remember who was on that team in 1991. And I don't know why in the world they chose to pray the Lord's Prayer at that particular moment. And only the Lord knew what was in their hearts when they prayed. But based on their language at other times and their lifestyle, I have a hard time thinking that many of them, if any, were affirming in that moment their personal commitment to hallow God's name, advance His kingdom, and do His will. But the prayer was recited. So the point is, whether you're talking about the 1991 Chicago Bulls, or you're talking about you growing up, or the thousands or millions who have prayed this prayer over the last week, which is why, if you're here for that introductory message, why Martin Luther called the Lord's Prayer the greatest martyr, because it's so abused and everyone tortures and abuses it the way he said it. Because some people, as again, say the personal commitment to these three grand opening themes and petitions. And yet, that is what the prayer is calling for us to do if we pray it. Let me also add this, that as we pray, again, just these three opening petitions, it really should also be a time that leads to confession. If you recognize in praying it that you have really laxed or failed in the hallowing of God's name and the advancing of His kingdom and the doing of His will. So as we pray these opening petitions, it really should be a time also of examining our own hearts and confessing if we have lacked, failed in that in some way. So It should be a time of confession as well as petition. Just to take note of that. And then one last thing on these three together before we look at start looking at the first one. And I hope this will be encouraging to you. God made you, and God created you, and God saved you so that you specifically could be a part of hallowing His name. So that you specifically could be a part of advancing His kingdom. So that you specifically could be a part of the doing of His will. Now, I realize that maybe for some of you, as you think about your job, maybe you would say, you know, I've got really a mundane type of job. Or for some of you, or maybe all of us, there are mundane types of things I have to do every week. Or maybe you would even say, you know, compared to other people, I feel like my whole life is a mundane type of life. Okay, I got you. But what I want you to understand is you have been given a high and holy and honorable assignment to hallow God's name, to advance His kingdom, to do His will. And that can be done even in the most mundane of lives. And so what that does is it elevates your life, your mundane life. That's the way you classify it. It elevates your life to the highest purpose and calling possible. Please catch that. Well, I hope just this one point I've been trying to make will impact and even forever change the way you pray the opening part of this prayer. All right, let's look at the first petition, last part of verse 9. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, I don't know if our younger generation fully understands what the word hallow means. It's not a word we really use much anymore. Although most translations and even the somewhat more modern NIV still use the word hallowed in this verse. But so it's not used much anymore, but it's out there if you look for it. For example, if you go to the website of Arlington National Cemetery, you will find on there that the visitors are invited to, quote, explore the rich history found within its hallowed grounds. In other words, there's a holiness, a sacredness to Arlington National Cemetery. You don't go to Arlington Cemetery to play Frisbee. There aren't playgrounds at Arlington Cemetery. Rather, it's a place to be that's valued and treated differently than other places. And there is it's a place that's set apart for showing honor and respect. Hallowed grounds. Some of you will remember Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg speech on that following the battle there in 1863, and there he was standing on the battlefield where both blue and gray had, so many of them had given their lives, and he declared this. He said, "We cannot consecrate, we cannot dedicate, we cannot hallow this ground." Well, why would he say that? Because he went on to say, in terms of the battlefield at Gettysburg, that was already hallowed or made sacred by the brave men who fought and died there. So if you just think about those two examples, we can come up with a suitable definition for the word hallowed. It would be something like this. Hallowed something is to treat it as sacred and holy and worthy of the highest honor, reverence, and respect. So, let's take it and transition that into this prayer here. We're saying, Father, may your name be treated with respect and honor and reverence by me first. By me. May your name be treated in such a way. Honor, reverence, be treated as holy in my thinking, in my actions, in my expressions. I want to hallow your name in that sense, to honor, respect, revere, because it's holy. Now, what is so significant about God's name? Well, God's name represents who He is. It embodies His character. It embodies His person. And you know, as you go through the Bible, there are so many different names, some for God the Father, some for God the Son, some for God the Holy Spirit. There are many, many names. I won't even put even a partial list up there because you know so many of them. But each one of those names tells us something about God's character, about His attributes, about His ability, who He is. And so God's name, whichever one you're thinking about or talking about, represents His being. That name represents Him, His person. I would dare say no, not a single person here this morning that wants your name to be used in a dishonoring way by someone else. And yet we are flawed human beings. We mess up. We make mistakes. But if you and me, if we would not want our name being used in a dishonoring way by someone else, even though we're a flawed human being, how much more, infinitely more, is that true concerning the holy, righteous, pure God of the heavens? In fact, that only seems proper in light of who He is. By the way, that's why the third commandment, you should know it, says you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. In vain means to take God's name lightly or flippantly or in a frivolous or insincere way. Definitely not in a cursing type way, which many do today. Not in an irreverent way. In fact, one of the translations translates it this way: you shall not use the name of the Lord with inner insincerity. Because you see, God takes the non-hallowing of His name seriously. That's the third commandment. Anybody know what the rest of the verse says? Because that's not the whole verse. That's just the first part of it. Here's the whole verse. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes His name in vain. And there are other verses in the Bible where God makes some pretty strong pronouncements against a person who dishonors or takes His name in vain and dishonors His name in that way. He cares passionately about His name because He should. He's the holy God. It's proper that He should. And so we hallow the name of God because He's holy and good. We take it seriously because God's name represents who He is and what He does. We don't take it lightly. We don't take it flippantly because we don't take or should not take God lightly or flippantly. Now, take note of something here. I was struck by this. Isn't it interesting? And that's really not the best word to use, but I don't know what other word to use right now. So Ted used to hate it when I would say it's just interesting or something very significant, but I can't think of a better word to use right now. So sorry, Ted. Isn't it interesting that immediately following this expression of our Father in heaven, where it in which we've looked at the last couple of weeks, where you have the warmness and closeness of God is pictured in this unique relationship we can have with Almighty God as our Father. Isn't it interesting? You have our Father in that picture, and then the next thing we hear and read is this phrase stressing the seriousness of showing honor and respect and reverence for God's name. Kind of two opposite pictures, or even opposite realities in one sense. But so we've been learning, because God is our Father, we can gladly enter His presence. We are welcomed into His presence. You maybe remember the picture of President Kennedy and his two kids running around in the Oval Office. They were welcomed because that was their father, that was their dad. And so we're welcomed into His presence. We can come to His presence and we can pray. We can lift up our request to Him and know He's going to respond and answer, because He cares about the specifics, cares deeply about the specifics of each one of our individual lives. And yet, we come into His presence with reverence and awe and a sacredness, because He is the holy God. And it's not one or the other. It's both. And you lose something significant when you forget or lessen either one of those. They go together perfectly, even though they seem opposite. Our Father, and yet I don't approach you flippantly and irreverently and use your name in that kind of way. And as you know, we live in a world where the vast majority of people do not hallow God's name. And so one of the reasons you and I should be praying for this in our lives is so that we can be used by the Holy Spirit to let people see how big and grand and great and worthy God really is. So they can be drawn, if it's a Christian, be drawn deeper into that. Non-Christian, to have a different kind of picture of maybe the God they have bought into, if they bought into one at all. So when we pray, hallowed be thy name, in essence we're praying, oh God, let me live in such a way so that your name is made great in my life, so that other people have a better picture of the kind of God that you really are. You know, if a person knows you and knows your family, then not just you, but also, like it or not, your family's reputation is judged by your choices, by your lifestyle, by your actions. Your family's reputation is at stake, so to speak, through you. And the same thing is true for us as believers. As people watch us, and if they know we are Christians, then we're impacting God's reputation. How they view God based on what they see in us, in habits and responses and attitudes and work habits and all of that. So God's reputation is at stake through us. And so everywhere we go and everything we do casts some type of reflection on Him, positive or negative. And unfortunately, a lot of believers have negatively impacted the family name of God, of Christ. Maybe not through a blasphemous kind of thing, but by not being careful to live up with a reverence toward God and His name at work and at school and family gatherings and wherever. So I put it like this. Hallowing God's name is a call and a commitment that has anytime, anywhere implications. Because people are watching. People are watching. And we are the mirror of God in society around us. You know, when I was born, my parents named me after my father. I'm a junior, and so I literally bear his name. But I also bear another family's name, and that is the family of God, because I also belong to Him through faith in His Son. And so hallowing His name means living in such a way that I cause people to respect, or lead people to respect and value my Heavenly Father. And when I've done that well, it may prompt people to say, wow, Chuck really belongs to a great God. But I want to live in such a way of hallowing His name that the Spirit can use that to point that out to someone, the kind of God that He really is. One of the verses that I love, particularly at Thanksgiving time, and you may remember me preaching on this a couple of times, is Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. And so in our magnifying of God, in our hallowing of God's name, means that He will be seen greater and more beautiful and more significant and more valuable to others because of the way I am living. And so a very important question we need to ask ourselves at this point is this: what can the people around me, people that I know, what can they conclude about God by watching my life? What will they conclude about God by watching, listening to me? That's really an important question to spend some time pondering. What can people around me, the people who know me, conclude about God by watching my life? So, Jesus is teaching us to pray this prayer. He's teaching us to pray, "Hallowed be thy name." And one of the reasons He's teaching us to do this is because this is the way He lived. And this is the way He prayed. Let me give you one example. After the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the cross is only a few days away, and the enormity of it all is really starting to settle upon Him. And you better remember this verse because it was our year verse back in 2020. And so Jesus in John chapter 12 said, "My soul has become troubled because of the cross looming. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? Save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour." And so, meaning that Jesus is saying, I can't pray that. I can't pray, "Save me from this hour." Because it's really not about me. It's about the Father's will. And this is why I was sent. And so, what did He pray instead? "Father, glorify Your name." So He's saying, I'm about to face the cross. My soul is troubled. What shall I pray? What shall I pray? And Jesus' answer and His prayer is, "Father, glorify Your name." In other words, Jesus was saying, what matters is that the Father's name be valued as supreme, that the Father's name be glorified. And so Jesus was, in essence, praying, "Hallowed be Thy name in my life, in this circumstance in my life." And so He, in essence, was saying He saw His personal responsibility to hallow the Father's name. And so, again, just the Jesus is saying, what matters in my life is that You, Father, Your name would be treated as holy. You would be adored. You would be treasured. Your name would be supreme. You would be worshipped by me, and the whole task You have given me to do by going to the cross, that Your name would be glorified in this most difficult part of my life. It's not about me. It's about Your name being hallowed, Your name being glorified. That's the way Jesus lived. And that's what He is teaching us to pray for ourselves in this opening petition. Just one other thing, and I haven't firmly settled on this, but I'll throw it out to you. Something new this week. But as we look at this first petition, "Hallowed be thy name," I wonder if there's just not something unique about it and where it is placed in the prayer. Because it may not be on exactly the same level as advancing His kingdom and doing His will. You know, I shared with you in the introductory message that the prayer is made up of six petitions. And so often it's put before us as the first three are God-focused, the second three are me-focused, people-focused, man-focused. And I shared with you, well, no, maybe it's more this, that the reason we pray for God to sustain us with food is so that we can do the first three. And the reason we want forgiveness is so that we can be part of doing the first three petitions. And the reason we want victory over temptation, and whatever that phrase means, Joe and I are already talking about this, but it's so that we can fulfill the first three petitions. There's still truth there. But this week, I have come to maybe another question I'm pondering, and that is not just those bottom three, but are all five petitions all part of the number one petition of hallowing the Father's name? In other words, is that the main purpose and part of the prayer? And the rest of these are part of the answering that God's name would be hallowed. I was reading one gentleman, he's what got me going on this. And so this is what he said. Sorry, I'm behind one. Nothing is more clear and unshakable to me than that the purpose of the universe is for the hallowing of God's name. His kingdom comes for that, for the hallowing of His name. His will is done for that, the hallowing of His name. Humans have bred sustained life for that, the hallowing of His name. Sins are forgiven for that, the hallowing of His name. And temptation is escaped for that, for the hallowing of His name. Is that really these other five serve that one petition of the hallowing of God's name? He just might be correct in that. It makes sense. I see it. So, brethren, no prayer could be more appropriate for our day here in the 21st century, because it's one thing is certain, and that is millions of people, millions upon millions and billions, do not live in a way that hallows God's name in their daily life, in their daily existence. And so this is a prayer that definitely needs to see answers to. But let it start with us first, right? This is where it starts, with each one of us individually. So, as I conclude, would you hear the word of the Lord with me? Ascribe to the Lord glory, do His name. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Blessed be His glorious name forever, and may the whole earth be filled with His glory. I will give thanks to You, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify Your name forever. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. That's how we want to live. Let's pray. My Father, thank You for this teaching today, and seeing the utmost importance of living our lives in a way that shows honor and reverence to Your name, that hallows Your name. It's not the general church's need or prayer. It's not to be the prayer the pastor prays for himself over his congregation. It's to be a prayer that I'm supposed to pray for myself, that Your name would be hallowed in my life and through my life, so that You can use me as people see that to be a part of advancing your kingdom. So Lord, as we just kind of hinted at, may we start viewing our lives, our life purpose, as being the pursuit of the answer of this first petition in and through us. And so as we go forth this week, may we be praying and asking that we would hallow your name and that people would see something new, better, deeper, fresh about who you are. For the honor and glory of your name, we pray. Amen.